subject that we have been approaching is flourishing. And our text is Psalms chapter 92, verse 12 to verse 15. I'm just going to read the first part. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And we focused on the righteous aspect in the last 2 weeks, where we spoke of imputed righteousness, or righteousness that is ascribed to us because of our faith in Christ Jesus, who is a righteous God. It is his righteousness in us that helps us to be righteous to this world. So we also spoke about practical righteousness. And practical righteousness is to exemplify, manifest, or give expression to the moral and ethical nature of our God. We see this even in the laws of God, when God brought out the nation out of the nation of Israel out of Egypt. It was clear that they were slaves in a system and therefore did not understand moral and ethical values. But now, as representatives of God being his firstborn son, that's why God said Israel is my firstborn. And as the firstborn son of God, they had to now effectively also reflect the righteousness of God. And this is why God gave them laws. He gave them the ceremonial law. He gave them rituals, traditions. But he also gave them civilian law, or moral law, or ethical law. And much of that is about how you would deal with the foreigner, how you would deal with your brother, how you would deal with the stranger, how you would deal with the orphan and the widow, how you would take care of them, how disputes were resolved, and basically the general living in a civilian population. And we, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are citizens of a heavenly city, but we live in the cities of men. And while we live in this natural world, we have to express the righteousness of God through our through righteous standards that we have to live by. And it is in that context that we flourish. I shared with you, flourish simply means to bloom again, to shoot forth, to bring forth something fresh or new. And if we want to flourish in this earth, we must live by righteous standards. So that was our focus in our previous session, and we ended with the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, from verse 5 to verse number 9, where it talks about if a just man does what is lawful and right, and it gives you all the characteristics of that just man. He does not involve himself in idolatry. He remains covenantal. He does not oppress. He does not rob. He is not violent. He feeds the hungry. He covers the naked. He does not exact usury. He does not take bribes. He does not get involved in iniquity. And he executes true judgment between man and man. Basically, there's reasoning and there's correct judgment. And he walks in the statutes of God faithfully. Bible says he is just. And the last part of that verse, or verse 9, says, he shall surely live. And the word live there is in parallel to the word zoe, which is in the New Testament, which means to have the life of God. So when we live by righteous standards and live out these standards in the world, then we begin to experience the God kind of life in our life. And that life is seen by the way we flourish. Now, I want to get into some more practical issues this morning as we talk about the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. So there's a metaphor of the palm tree. It also tells you that they will grow like the cedar tree. And we'll cover a bit of that maybe in weeks to come. So it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So when you talk about the palm tree, firstly, trees were frequently used in scripture to describe us as believers and also to describe the nation of Israel. So we are called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It's a verse I referred to last week as well. But the nation of Israel was God's firstborn. They were called a kingdom of priests. They were God's special treasure. They were God's special people. They were a prototype of what the kingdom of God is like on the earth. And Israel was called a vine tree. You can read that in Isaiah chapter 5. Israel was also called an olive tree. That's in Romans chapter 11, verse 16 to verse 18. And also referred to as a fig tree. So these different kinds of trees speak of the different characteristics of us as believers. That as a vine tree, we are expected to be very fruitful and productive, as John 15 describes for us. As an olive tree, we produce oil. Remember that Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane, which was an olive tree garden. And in that garden, he was pressed, because it was while he was praying in that garden that he said, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. And it speaks of the pressing nature of things that we go through so that it would produce oil. And so these trees give an example of certain characteristics that must be seen in us as believers. But in this particular verse that we are reading, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And the nature of the palm tree is seen in our righteous believer. And it is in that context that we flourish, or we bear, or we bring forth, or we shoot forth. So know that when you look at the palm tree, and we're just going to look at just a few characteristics today, that this nature must be seen in us. It must be developed in us. It must be practiced in our life so that we can also see a flourishing taking place in our lives. Flourishing doesn't happen just because we fast and pray. Flourishing doesn't happen just because someone lays hands on you. Flourishing does not happen just because someone prophesies over you. Everything requires you to activate those things that are said, those things that are decreed, those things that are declared. It requires us to begin to activate it. So, for instance, when Elisha went to the widow with her three sons, and she said that the creditors are coming to take her three sons, he asked her, what is in your house? He didn't just prophesy to her and say to her, listen, your debt will be paid, your sons won't be taken. No. He said to her, what is in your house? And she said, there's a little oil. And he said, right, now go and collect all the vessels, borrow from your neighbors, fill those jars with oil. There's a requirement, there's action, there's the natural part that we have to do. So those sons had to go into the neighborhood, collect all the vessels, collect all the all those jars, and then only the oil started to flow. So don't think because someone just said to you, or spoke a word to you, that it's just going to happen. No. Just as if you want the palm tree to flourish, there's certain things you're going to have to do. So I want to draw from the natural nature that is associated with the palm tree. All of this information is easily available on the internet. But to draw conclusions about what is required of us in order to see us flourish as righteous believers. So the first thing about the palm tree that you will learn is the palm tree, in its what we call growth phase, is called a climber. It's called a climber. So in the growth form of a palm tree, which is stemless, They grow upright and erect. But for it to grow upright and erect, what it does is, as it's growing upright and erect, they hook onto other trees so that it keeps growing upright. And as believers, what do you learn from the palm tree? You learn that you need to be a climber. You need to be able to hook onto others so that you can grow upright. We hook onto the grace of other believers. We hook onto the gifts of other believers. We learn how to develop ourselves by spending time with people that are better than us, mature than us, wiser than us. He who wants to be wise must walk with the wise. And so if you want to see yourself beginning to flourish, learn to be a climber and hook yourself onto people that can bring growth into your life, holistic growth. You see, Paul was a climber. How do I know that? When he was born again, the first thing he did was join other disciples. He hooked onto those who had already received the message of the kingdom, who had already received Jesus Christ as Savior into their heart. And this is how he began to grow into being an apostle of Christ. Apollos was a climber. Apollos, when he first heard the message from Priscilla and Aquila, he hooked onto them and learned what was called the more accurate way. You see, in your journey, if you're going to flourish, you've got to learn how to be a climber like the palm tree, so that when you see the palm tree in its erect state, when you look at its beauty and you look at the cluster of leaves and branches that you see flowing out of the palm tree, you have to know that in its growth form, in its initiation, in its initial stages of growth, it was a climber. So in your journey, if you're going to flourish like the palm tree, you've got to be a climber. You've got to be able to hook onto people that can help you to grow. People that will help you to grow in your faith, to help you to grow in life general. Now, when you hook onto other people, don't bring them down and don't make them a crutch. Many times when we hook onto the lives of other people, we make ourselves a nuisance rather than becoming a benefactor of their grace. So it means that when you hook onto someone, you want to become stable and you want to make sure that your faith in the Lord is stable. So we hook onto the grace of others so that we can begin to grow in our faith. Climbers have an upward focus. They have a momentum of going up. They think about always moving up in life. So if you're going to flourish, that's the kind of mentality you have to adopt. This is a climbing mentality. It's about reaching the summit. It's about overcoming certain obstacles. Now, the climber has an overcoming mentality. You would watch many people climbing mountains. And they have to overcome many physical weaknesses in order to summit those mountains or to reach the top of those mountains. And it requires an overcoming mentality. You can follow Dr. Segi's series on the YouTube at the moment where he talks about the overcoming mentality. And as sons of God, know that we are created to be overcomers. Look at Joseph. He had to overcome the hatred of his brothers. He had to overcome false accusation. He had to overcome being forgotten for 2 years while he was in prison. And he climbed into his divine purpose. Now, he had the dream, and the dream, he saw himself as a sheaf that was higher than his brothers. He saw all the sheaves bowing down to him. He saw all the stars, the sun, moon, and the stars bowing down to him. But he didn't just sit back. He had to realize that there are things he had to climb up out of. He had to deal with the hatred that was in his heart. He had to deal with the bitterness that was in his heart. And he had to overcome that. This is why when his first son was born, he named him bitterness, because he wanted to show that he had overcome that bitterness. Okay? So in our lives, as overcomers, we climb and come out of those circumstances, because if we are to flourish, we have to have this kind of form of growth and climbing in the agricultural or the horticultural aspect is called a growth form. It's a growth form you must adopt. Every time you overcome, you are growing. Every time you are able to overcome the challenges of life, you are growing. And that's the growth form that will always keep you erect, always keep you moving up, always keep your momentum going up. Now, if you look at Isaac, Isaac had to overcome the Philistines who covered all the wells. That's why he named the well Sitna, he named the well Esek, he named the well Rehoboth, he named the well Beersheba. All of this is in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And so Isaac, or 24, Isaac overcame all these wells, and God made room for him. Jacob was an overcomer, overcame the hatred of Esau, overcame the exploitation of Jacob, of Laban rather, overcame when his daughter Dinah was raped, he overcame when his sons became murderers. They went and killed all the people of Shechem. The spirit of genocide was on them. He overcame all of that to the point of where they became a nation. 70 of them, one generation, entered the land of Egypt and eventually became a mighty nation. You see, overcomers are climbers. They climb out of every circumstance. This is the nature of the palm tree. This is how the righteous flourish. If you want to see yourself shoot up, if you want to see new growth, if you want to see fresh things happening in life, you always have to overcome. Christ has overcome the world. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says to them, in the world you will have tribulation. So guaranteed that while you are still in this tent, this bodily tent, while you are still in your flesh, you will have tribulation in this life. But Jesus says to his disciples, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. And in 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children. That means you are born of God. And have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So know that you are built with the nature to overcome. And as the palm tree, you must be able to climb. Maybe there are certain fears that you have right now. Fears that you need to overcome. Maybe there are things that you are uncertain about in life. Uncertain about relationships, uncertain about marriage, uncertain about business, uncertain about your job, uncertain about many things in life. But you have to learn how to climb. You have to learn how to have a growth form to overcome all of those things. If we are to flourish like the palm tree, we have to be climbers and overcome many things in this world. Listen. In this world, you're going to have to overcome racial prejudice. In this world, you have to overcome gender prejudice. You'll have to overcome social prejudice. You'll have to overcome systemic racism. You'll have to overcome statism, where the state wants to be God and control all its citizens. You'll have to overcome environmental hazards, the pollution levels are rising every day. The environment is in total chaos. You just have to drive around your area and you will see how unhygienic and unclean it is. Simply because we have a people now that are not environmentally conscious. You and I have to overcome all this. You have to overcome in South Africa bad service delivery. You have to overcome inequality. You'll have to overcome crime. So there are many things that you have to overcome while you live in this world. So if you're not built with a climbing mentality, then you're going to get trampled. Your growth form is not going to increase. What you will become is a grumbler. You will become a complainer. Your heart will be filled with bitterness, envy, hatred, jealousy. These are things that should not be in the sons of God because they are overcomers. When we have breakdown in relationships, you're going to have to overcome that someone is going to move on in life. You know how hard that used to overcome? That maybe sometimes you had a relationship with someone and then they moved on. And then when you see them, they got a Prada sunglasses, they got a new haircut, they're wearing lipstick, they got a new outfit. And when you see that, man, you have to overcome jealousy and hatred that fills your heart, envy that all comes into you. You're going to see people that that's probably did you down, probably did some bad things to in your life, and then you'll see them succeeding and you'll say, my God, how can you allow that, Father? How do you allow the wicked to prosper? This was David's complaint. This was Job's complaint. But these are things in your spirit, in your heart, you have to overcome all of those things. As a pastor, I have to overcome many things. People leave you all the time. People join other churches. People connect with other fathers. All of that happens in your journey. And you know the investment you make. You know the time you make. But listen, you overcome all of that because they are not your sheep. There's only one shepherd. The shepherd is Jesus Christ. He is over them. So as long as they are doing well and they are prospering, we bless them wherever they go, that they will have good success. And in that way, you overcome the emotion. You overcome sort of the sadness that you sometimes feel. And your setback recovery time is quick. So be a climber today. Overcome all those things that are holding you down. Why? If you don't learn to be a climber, you're not going to flourish. The nature of the palm tree is that it flourishes because it's a climber. It is able to hook on and keep growing erect and upright and keep moving with a forward momentum upward. Number two, palm trees are among the best known and most extensively cultivated plant families. Now, the second thing about the palm tree is that it is highly cultivated. Horticulture is different from agriculture. I'll explain it just now. Horticulture is to cultivate plants in different gardens to produce food and medicinal ingredients or even for comfort and ornamental purposes. So if you have a garden, you would grow, you know, lovely trees in it and roses if you want and all kinds of beautiful flowers. But you can look at those flowers the whole day, but you can't eat them because they are for decorative purposes. They are ornamental in nature. So the only thing that those gardens will give you is probably comfort, give you a peace of mind. It will activate beautiful thoughts in your mind because of you looking at these beautiful gardens. However, if you have a fruit garden or you have a vegetable garden, that it serves a different purpose because it will feed you, it will nourish you, it will ensure that you are fed. And then you have other trees which are of a medicinal value. And so a horticulturalist will be able to cultivate and extract the best out of all of those different trees so that it can be useful to us as mankind. So a horticulturalist is a specialist or is an expert that cultivate plants for their best uses. Now, when you talk about agriculture, agriculture is about a large plot of land, but with the same crop. And therefore, in agriculture, you will use a large plot of land with the same crop. So when you harvest, you will receive the same crop. You don't expect now to plant wheat and then reap something else. So in agriculture, you will plant an entire field of sugarcane and you would harvest just sugarcane. But horticulture is different. It's a smaller plot of ground with a diversity of plants. And the horticulturalist specializes in getting out the best of each of those plants based on their nature and based on their variety and species that they fall under. So to become useful in the kingdom of God, to become productive, to become effective, we must allow ourselves to be cultivated. God pours a blessing upon our lives when we are cultivated. Listen to this verse in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 7. It says, "For the earth which drinks in the rain," and what is the rain? It's a symbol of the blessing of God. "For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful," listen to it, "for those by whom it is cultivated." So, although the earth is drinking in the rain, the herbs become useful to whom it is cultivated by. And the latter part of the verse says, "and receives the blessing from God." So, you need to understand that in order for us to receive the blessing of God, you have to be cultivated. You have to be a cultivator so that the best can be taken, or the potential can be harnessed in your life. Now, you see, in a ground, when rain falls on it, it produces herbs, or it can produce thorns and briars. The latter part of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 8 says, "But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Just like wheat and tares, at the time of the harvest, the tare is taken down and it is burned. If a branch does not bear fruit, it is cut off and it is thrown into the fire where it is burned. But if a branch comes under cultivation, then it can be harnessed to produce the best fruit. And just like bricks and stones, bricks are all one form and one shape, but stones are shaped specifically for a specific purpose so that it can fit in a specific shape. Stones require shaping by someone who is called a mason and is an expert, just like plants require cultivating. Now, if we flourish like the palm tree, or if we are to flourish like the palm tree, you have to be cultivated. This means you have to be refined, you have to be educated in the things of God and in the things of the world. Now, you know, we are a royal priesthood. Royalty, while you are born into it, it has to be cultivated. David was a man of war and a man after God's own heart. And you must listen to me carefully. However, his son Solomon became more cultivated and refined. Why? Because he was able to attract the nations of the world because of a royal culture that was cultivated through Solomon's reign. In his former days, he had wisdom in all areas of life and created an attraction for greater wealth because it was cultivated. 1 Kings 4 verse 30 to 34 talks about different areas that Solomon had wisdom in. Let me read it for you. "Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and of the wisdom of Egypt. For he was a wise, for he was wiser than all men, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke of 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. He also spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And all the men of all nations, from all kings of the earth who had heard of the wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So, when you look at Solomon, and even if you read the preceding verses, it will talk to you about his administration. Solomon was an economist. Solomon was a proverbialist. Solomon was a psalmist. Solomon was a horticulturalist, because he understood all kinds of trees. Solomon was a zoologist. He knew about all the different animals. Solomon was an ornithologist. This is a person who specializes in birds. Solomon was an entomologist. This is a person who knows about creeping things, about insects. Solomon was a marine biologist. He knew about the fish and the water and all of that. These things were seen in the life of Solomon. And it's something that must be cultivated. And there are aspects of our lives that must be cultivated to reflect the royalty that we are. All of it requires cultivation. For instance, our speech has to be cultivated. That's why the Bible tells us in Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer one another. Now, I'm not asking you to change the way you speak. It doesn't mean now if you speak in a certain way, or in a certain tone, or you pronounce your words in a certain way, that it makes you look more educated or more cultured. No, I'm talking about the words that we use when we speak to people. It's not the pronunciation of the word. I mean, I know some of you have a different pronunciation when you speak on your cell phone and when you speak to people of a different race group. You got a different pronunciation. And then when you speak to your mother, you got another pronunciation. When you speak to your children, you got another pronunciation. All of that is about your mentality. But when you are cultured, it's about using your words to transmit grace, to ensure that someone is receiving life. Secondly, in terms of being cultivated, it's also our dress. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay? We are a royal people, therefore, you should have a dress code. And in that dress code, it's about being an expression of the kingdom of God. Yes, I know you know who you are. Yes, you are secure in who you are. Yes, you are cultured. But the world does not know that, because the world only sees in the flesh. And therefore, the way we appear to them is important. In our eating, Proverbs 23:20, do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. And some people, their eating habits are very unhygienic because they don't know how to develop a culture. What about hygiene? You see, people don't see your clean heart. You say, no, my heart is clean. No, people don't see your clean heart. They see your clean appearance first. So while we say, no, my heart is clean, and you feel that, you know, you're a good person, so you can just dress anyhow and you don't have to be neat in your appearance. No, the world doesn't see that. The unregenerated man does not see that. They see you. They see your outward appearance. They see your body. They see what you are wearing. And that's what appeals to them. So if you don't cross that boundary, it's very hard to get into their hearts, because they always see after the flesh. Now, we are created in the image and the likeness of God. And therefore, God is King of Kings and is Lord of Lords. We are those lords, we are those kings. And as his representatives, we have a duty to cultivate ourselves so that we can represent the kingdom of God with great dignity. Christ was the express image of the Father. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that. And we are now the sons of God that must express the image of the Father to this world. While we do it in heart, we must also do it in flesh. Because people see you. They see the way you dress, they see the way you speak, they see the way you carry yourself, they see the way you act with others. And all of that tells them what you represent and whom you represent. Number three, our time is going. Palms were used vastly in landscaping and still are used today in landscaping simply because they were economically and environmentally viable. They require little maintenance, yet they can change the entire landscape in a variety of environments, from the tropical to the subtropical, even to the desert. You will see palm trees. And they, whenever you plant the palm tree, over a period of time, it changes the entire landscape. But it's also adding value to the environment in that it prevents landslides, it can hold up prevents the soil from sliding, all of, because of its root system, etc. It's adding value, not to mention the fruit that it produces, the date palm, the coconut palm, all the extracts that come out from the palm, the oils that we receive from the palm. All of it is adding value economically to an environment. Now, to flourish like the palm tree, we must also change the landscape of any environment. We can change the economy of a region because we are the sons of God. And I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. We have the power to affect economies because we are a nation. We are a holy nation. We are a powerful, holy nation. Now, our economic principles are different from the principles of this world. The world gives to be rewarded. We give because Christ is our reward. We are confident that the Father will reward us openly because he sees what we do in secret. Isaac changed the landscape of Gerar through the principle of seed. In Genesis 26, when there was a famine in the land and God told him, stay there, he put seed into the land and he changed the landscape. Because God blessed his seed and he began to prosper. He received 100-fold. God blessed him and he prospered. He became very prosperous. He acquired possessions of flocks and herds and a great number of servants to the point of where even the Philistines began to envy him. But Isaac, as a son of God, change the economy of a region. We are now the promised Isaac. We are now Isaac in the spirit. And as Isaac in the spirit, our seed put into a land can change the landscape of that particular environment. David stopped the plague through the principle of sacrifice and he changed the landscape. You can see, read that in 2 Samuel 24. When Jesus went into the boat of Simon Peter and he told him, listen, cast your net on the other side. And so when Peter cast his net, he brought in a catch that he had never seen and he had to call in his partners to help him to bring in the catch. But think about this. Peter was a businessman. He was a fisherman. What do you think happened to the economy of that fishing village by that one catch? It would have really been transformed because they have never seen anything like that. Wherever Jesus went, and because large crowds were following him, remember, people had to eat, people had to sleep, People would have had to buy food. The economy of those villages, of those regions that he was moving in, would have just changed. Just because the Son of God was in that region. The church is now the Son of God, the firstborn of God. And in whichever region we are in, when we flourish like the palm tree, we change the landscape. You can bring in an economy that is totally different from this world. The church must be entrepreneurial. The church must be innovative. The church must be inventive. The church must be industrious. The church must be empowering and developing and equipping and skilling. When we see ourselves as contributing to the economy, the environment around you begins to change. I hope that your spirit will be stirred to be an environment changer through economy, through bringing an economy into a region. Because we think independently, because we think individually, our prosperity just results in self-indulgence and it results in selfishness. You can end up like Solomon. Look at the former years of Solomon and look at his latter years. In his latter years, he started indulging in things that he's not supposed to indulge in. He started building foreign altars. He started indulging in idolatry and foreign women. And because of that indulgence, the kingdom was split. We have a responsibility as the righteous to flourish like the palm tree. Be a climber. Be a cultivator. Change your environment. You can change your environment by being a palm tree that changes the landscape, contributing an economy to that environment that will empower people, that will give dignity to people, that will bring people out of poverty, that will change the lives of one generation that can lead to another generation and another generation. May the Lord challenge us to flourish like the palm tree. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Please join us again next week. Amen.